This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A proposed project in the state's eastern panhandle pits scores of residents against a company hoping to settle there.
We are really pumped up by the turnout. We've been working for these last few months to really get people to know that what this issue is and to know that it was important to come today to show that they're against this concept plan.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. Each week during the legislative session, we here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting invite reporters from other news organizations to hear what they are covering. Curtis Tate and Brianna Heaney were recently joined by Metro News Brad McElhenney. Here's a portion of that conversation, which aired in its entirety on our daily broadcast, The Legislature Today.
Hey, Bri, and welcome, Brad.
Thank you. Hi.
Good to have you here. You were telling me about a list that you have. Tell me more about that list.
It's in my notes app, sir. And it includes things that are happening, not happening, and things that are in purgatory. Sometimes I think the news is what is not happening.
Sure.
And I'm not going to say that these are not going to happen, but one of them is the vaccine bill that we heard so much about in the early days of the legislature. That is a bill that would open up additional exemptions for students in the public school system, maybe the private school system, to be exempt on religious, maybe philosophical grounds from West Virginia's slate of required vaccines. It was a thunderbolt in the Senate, rolled on through, and it's now been up a time or two on the House health agenda. It was, I think, this past Monday, and then disappeared. And that is a sign, I think, I interpret it this way, that it's unclear in the House whether it has the votes to pass or in what shape it would be in. It might all be altered in some way to otherwise, have the support of enough delegates first on the committee and then on the floor to pass.
Well, we're at the halfway point, they better move soon, right?
We're at that point where even things that have passed from one chamber to the other can be held hostage, can be used as negotiating chips between the other one. If you want this bill passed, you got to pass ours. And so even if something has moved forward from one chamber to the other, unclear whether it's going to go or not.
Well, Bree, you've been following another prominent issue in this session, the ban on food dyes.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That just completed legislation today. It heads to the governor's desk. That was a bill that didn't get a lot of pushback, but it did in small numbers get the few people who did push back. Their arguments against it were that it could make food prices a lot more expensive in West Virginia because essentially about 60% of the food in our stores would have to be either completely removed or reformulated. And obviously West Virginia is a very small market. So to have just a certain, reformulation of food for the grocery stores here might be really hard or really expensive. And that's been the main pushback. Another pushback has been, are these dyes actually detrimental to health, right? They've been approved by the FDA, and what they're replaced with, would those be detrimental to health? We don't know because these are dyes that have been in our food for a long time. Whatever they're replaced with would be a new thing, and so we don't know the impacts of that new thing if they were replaced with something.
Well, one argument I heard in favor of this was that, European countries banned these chemical additives or whatever, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, that has been the big argument is, do children in West Virginia deserve the same protections as children in some European countries where these foods are banned or at least they have warning labels on them, which was enough of a deterrent to where a lot of these companies, instead of putting the warning labels on, just reformulated the products completely. And there is some evidence, like, for example, with something like Red Dye 40, that there is some studies that show that it can have detrimental health effects on children and adults. But obviously by the FDA, not enough to completely remove it, or those studies weren't conclusive enough for the FDA.
Brad, did you want to add some color, pun intended?
Well, that bill was on my purgatory list because there were incremental changes between the Senate version and the House version. It was ping-ponging back and forth. Finally finished ping-ponging. But as it did so, there was significant pressure from, for example, the National Association that represents beverage manufacturers, as well as the state-level version of the lobbying group for beverage manufacturers, an advertising campaign, lobbyists at the Capitol. And now the ping pong goes to the governor, and it's, you know, it's a question as to whether he'll sign it, veto it. Interesting political question, because This is a different kind of Republican bill. There's an RFK Jr. movement that is very skeptical of things you put in your body, vaccines, but also artificial dyes and colors. So that's a thread of the current Republican Party. But there's also this longstanding Republican view about, you know, burdensome regulation that might affect businesses. So that's why I think it's an open question about what the governor does on this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Senator Tarr told me that he didn't vote for it for that exact reason. From everybody who I talked to in the Senate who didn't vote for it, the three no votes, Woodrum, Tacubo, and Tarr, Tarr's biggest thing was he doesn't want to put regulations, extra regulations, on the state at all. He doesn't think it's good for a business climate. But the governor has, in the governor's office has indicated to me that they plan on signing it. And obviously, if he did veto it, they have enough votes to override it.
Thank you both so much. We're just about out of time, but halfway through the session. So 29 days to go, something like that.
Yeah.
Are we going to make it?
Downhill slide from here. Truly downhill.
All right. Well, thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a reporter roundtable discussion between Curtis Tate, Brad McElhenney, and Brianna Heaney. Visit our website to hear the rest of that interview and make sure to tune in for our daily broadcast at 6 p.m. on TV and radio, and then again on the West Virginia Channel at 7 p.m. It's also streaming on our website and YouTube channel. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Cloudy and foggy this morning with gradual clearing today. Highs in the 40s and 50s. Clear tonight with lows in the 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine with highs in the 60s and low 70s. Partly sunny on Wednesday with highs again in the 60s and 70s. Support for WVPB is provided by the West Virginia Symphony presenting Opera Returns, Carmen in Concert on Saturday, March 22nd in Charleston. Tickets and information at wvsymphony.org. Last week, Jefferson County rejected a proposal from Mountain Pure Water Bottling Facility, a plant that would have extracted and packaged groundwater in the historic community of Middleway. For now, that decision bookends a protracted debate over local land use involving a developer, the County Planning Commission, and hundreds of concerned residents. Jack Walker walks us through last week's hearing.
It's Tuesday evening, and hundreds of residents of West Virginia's Eastern Panhandle have packed into a high school auditorium in Charlestown. That includes students, farmers, pastors, and elected officials. And there's Stacy Chapman. She sits in a group toward the front, boasting signs that read, "Save Our Water," and say no to Mountain Pure. It's a big day, and the strong attendance has her feeling energized.
We are really pumped up by the turnout. We've been working for these last few months to really get people to know that what this issue is and to know that it was important to come today to show that they're against this concept plan.
Chapman is a nurse by day, but around-the-clock resident of the tiny village of Middleway. Since last fall, she's helped lead a local activist group called Protect Middleway, which she formed in opposition to a nearby development project called the Mountain Pure Water Bottling Facility. The project was proposed by Sidewinder Enterprises, a single-purpose development company. They shared plans to build a million-square-foot water bottling plant in Jefferson County with a local planning commission last November.
So you can see the wellhead protection area that is associated with the mobile home park.
But the site is a short walk from the 18th century villages downtown and located atop a former industrial site where chemical contaminants have been detected in the ground below. The project triggered local outcry over its possible environmental, water use, traffic, and safety implications.
What Sidewinder's Mountain Pure wants to do is against all of the zoning, not all of the zoning ordinance, but at least five of the zoning ordinances in Jefferson County that we feel protect us.
The Jefferson County Planning Commission held a month's anticipated hearing Tuesday to review plans for the plant and determine whether it could move forward. Chapman and other organizers made sure locals provided strong numbers. Over the course of the meeting, 125 people delivered remarks during an hours-long public comment period. 122 of them spoke against the project. Accommodating all of those comments was no small task. The meeting took more than 7 hours, beginning at 7 p.m. Tuesday and ending near 3 a.m. on Wednesday.
You have to come over to this one. Our microphones are running out of batteries.
Also present were project reps, like management partner Sean Masterson and Mark Dick with the planning firm Integrity Federal Services. They walked commissioners through a revised version of their plan after the commission rejected an initial draft due to a technical error in its property documentation last November.
So, at the last meeting, there were some really good questions about where is the pump going to be set, how are you...
Masterson described some comments from residents as, quote, a character attack on us as a business, and said the project would be a boon to the local job market. Dick said the revised concept plan accurately documented all parcels of land associated with the project and addressed resident concerns through tweaks like an added traffic circle, water use stopgaps, and a mechanism for detecting the spread of chemicals.
I don't know how we can give a better guarantee to the county, to the farmers, to the residents than that. And that's a pretty good guarantee.
But members of the Planning Commission said they still shared several resident concerns. Ultimately, the commission voted to reject the Mountain Pure concept plan on the basis that it did not comply with county policies. While many residents left over the course of the night, several dozen stuck around, waiting till the very end to hear a decision announced. Their response was positive. To put it lightly. After hearing the decision, Chapman said she felt a rush of relief, like months of hard work had finally paid off.
We are overjoyed. We've been waiting months since it was delayed in November, and we've been waiting for this day for the community to show that it's a bad business for Middleway.
Commissioner Kara Keys motioned to reject the project and cited a clause in the county zoning code prohibiting the destruction of protected historic sites like Middleway.
We found as a planning commission that it did not coincide with our zoning ordinance and our subdivision regulations, so we rejected it unanimously.
Dick declined to comment on the decision after the hearing, and media representatives for Mountain Pure did not immediately respond to a request for comment on this story. For many residents of Middleway, the decision felt vital. Chapman said it made her feel secure in the future of her community and confident its legacy would endure. And the only other question was, I know you put a ton of energy personally just into organizing and stuff. What does it feel like just in this moment come to fruition like that?
I'm really sorry. It's hard not to cry because it was not just important to me, but it was important to the community. And it was important to the people who've stewarded Middleway for the last 300 years. And they've put their heart and soul into protecting it. And we were determined that we were going to carefully steward Middleway just like they did. And we did it tonight.
The Planning Commission's decision prevents Sidewinder from moving forward in the permitting process, let alone breaking ground on the project, unless they sue over the terms of rejection. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Charlestown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Maria Young, and Randy Yowie. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.